and welcome to Killing Arden, an exploration of Arden of Faversham by the unknown, many hands suspected, and we are in the closing stages. This is based on a true story, so I shouldn't really be very flippant about it. I am generally quite flippant about it because it's a very silly play in many ways. It is a sort of black farce, a black comedy. Of nastiness and darkness going on. Yes, we are at the moment of resolution in a play otherwise known as Arden Must Die. We are getting to the point where Arden will die and things are going to take a turn for the darker. And we're going to be dancing around this, talking about how this will work as audio, as an audio adaptation. Going forward, and we have in the room, we have Tom, we have Greg, we have Sarah, we have Desna, and we have Liza. So we are going through midway from through scene 14. We started scene 14. We had all sorts of questions about where scene 14 sort of was set. Was it outside the room? Was it inside the room? Was it in a pub? We've decided we're probably going to reset most of the opening of scene 14 in a pub, and then we're going to jump forward to the house from the point where Alice does her speech about Endymion and Diana and kissing and stuff. And so we're going to crawl towards something we might call a climax. Sarah, if you're you can read Alice. I forget now who I tasked to read various things. This is a good system. Desna, I think you were down as Michael. Yes. Greg Mosby, Tom. Did I say Shakebag? I think I said Shakebag. And Liza, if you could read Arden. Don't worry, you won't be kept here long. Okay, we are going to go from the exit of Will and Shakebag, and Alice is left alone on stage.
Ah. Would he now were here that it might open? I shall no more be closed in Arden's arms that, like the snakes of black Tisiphone, sting me with their embracings. Mosby's arms shall compass me. And were I made a star, I would have none other spheres but those. There is no nectar but in Mosby's lips. Had chaste Diana kissed him, she, like me, would grow lovesick, and from her watery bower fling down Endymion and snatch him up. Then blame not me that slay a silly man, not half so lovely as Endymion.
Here enters Michael.
Mistress, mistress, my master is coming hard by.
Who comes with him?
Nobody but Mosby.
Oh, that's well, Michael. Fetch in the tables, and when thou hast done, stand before the counting house door.
Why so?
Black Will is locked within to do the deed.
What? Shall he die tonight?
Aye, Michael.
But shall not Susan know it?
Yes, till she'll be as secret as ourselves.
That's brave. I'll go fetch the tables.
But Michael, hark to me a word or two. When my husband is come in, lock the street door. He shall be murdered or the guests come in.
And exit Michael. So immediately we got questions of atmosphere and setting. We need to make sure that this interior location is made nicely clear. We've got the sort of urgency of Michael coming in. It's nice Michael does some exposition-y things for us, just going, so who knows about the plot and who are we telling? And do you remember Susan? Susan, she was in scene one. We haven't seen her since, I think, almost as much as that. It's that thing, you know, I almost want hooting owls or something outside. I just want something. I don't actually know what time of day technically this is supposed to be. Late-ish, I think. Sarah?
Well, I have a feeling that in the last session when they were plotting, they said the morning, didn't they? But it does, and all that stuff with the moon certainly, like, adds to the sense that it's late at night, but I actually have a feeling it might be the next morning.
Well, I think it was earlier, but I think time's a bit slippery, if that makes sense, because they were talking about him coming back from somewhere, so I don't think it necessarily, but precise nature of time I'm struggling sometimes. Sometimes this play is very clear in its timing of what's happening when. But you know, it was earlier at the beginning of the scene when they were sort of just generally talking about the other day when the last attempt to murder went horribly, horribly wrong. Okay, any other thoughts? Otherwise, we will sort of creep forward. Okay, so Michael exits. Here enters Arden and Mosby.
Husband, what mean you to bring Mosby home? Although I wished you to be reconciled, 'twas more for fear of you than love of him. Black Will and Green are his companions, and they are cutters, and may cut you short. Therefore I thought it good to make you friends, but wherefore do you bring him hither now? You have given me my supper with his sight.
Master Arden, methinks your wife would have me gone.
No, good Master Mosby, women will be prating. Alice, bid him welcome. He and I are friends.
You may enforce me to it, if you will, but I had rather die than bid him welcome. His company hath purchased me ill friends, and therefore I will ne'er frequent it more.
Oh, how cunningly she can dissemble.
Now he is here, you will not serve me so.
I pray you, be not angry or displeased. I'll bid him welcome, seeing you'll have it so. You are welcome, Master Mosby. Will you sit down?
I know I am welcome to your loving husband, but for yourself, you speak not from the heart.
And if I do not, sir, think I have cause?
Oh, pardon me, Master Arden. All away.
No good, Master Mosby.
We shall have guests enough, though you go hence.
I pray you, Master Arden, let me go.
I pray thee, Mosby, let her prate her fill.
The doors are open, sir. You may be gone.
Nay, that's a lie. I have locked the doors.
Sirrah, fetch me a cup of wine. I'll make them friends. And gentle Mistress Alice, seeing you are so stout, you shall begin. Frown not, I'll have it so.
I pray you meddle with that you have to do.
Why, Alice, how can I do too much for him whose life I have endangered without cause?
'Tis true. And seeing 'twas partly through my means, I am content to drink to him for this once. Here, Master Mosby, and I pray you henceforth be you as strange to me as I to you. Your company hath purchased me ill friends, and I for you, God knows, have undeserved been ill spoken of in every place. Therefore, henceforth, frequent my house no more.
I'll see your husband in despite of you. Yet, Arden, I protest to thee by heaven, thou ne'er shalt see me more after this night. I'll go to Rome rather than be forsworn.
Tush, I'll have no such vows made in my house.
Yes, I pray you, husband, let him swear. And on that condition, Mosby, pledge me here.
Aye, as willingly as I mean to live.
Come, Alice, is our supper ready yet?
It will by then you have played a game at tables.
Come, Master Mosby, what shall we play for?
Oh, three games for a French crown, sir, and please you.
Content.
And then they play at the tables. So, yeah, we've got some gameplay going on here. Yeah, an awful lot of dissembling going on. It's how performy Alice and Mosby and everybody is getting in this as we're going forward and playing around. Again, all quite straightforward. I don't think there's anything here that I'm sitting here going, I don't think we know what's going on. I think we've established so many of these various plot lines that could be going on. Tables could be backgammon. It could be other board game type things, that's a plausible thing. Counters, we need the sounds of counters and setting up tables and boards and things. before we get to things like asides as well.
Could it be a card game?
It could be. I mean, it's they're setting up the tables for some kind of game, so it could be anything. So long as it's bettable, doesn't really matter. So yeah, we can make a decision as to what sound effects we want to go for. If the text gives us more clues, which it may or may not, Desna.
So I have a question about Michael, who's being a bit tricky here. So in the next little bit, there's Michael has a line, but hasn't actually come back on stage yet.
Yes, he's already had a line before he came back on stage. I have inserted a stage direction for his entrance.
Excellent. So it made sense for Mosby to have that line earlier, didn't it?
But Alice ordered Michael to lock the doors, right? Mm.
So he's got to come back on.
So if he has an aside on the previous page. No, that's life. I have locked the doors. Then he must have come back on at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Arden then orders him to fetch a cup of wine.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, missed that. Give me a look.
Yeah. So there's lots of little absences of data as to this is why we do these little tweaks of entrances and exits and things so that we've got all of those. It will matter because it's the kind of job where you have to do a lot of footsteps. and as anyone who's ever done any audio will know, that is where hell is. Sarah.
It's true. That is where hell is. I was just scrolling back through my script because I have a vague recollection of there being a game previous to this, quite near the beginning of the play, but then I couldn't find it. So am I just remembering that from the first look? Am I remembering this scene of tables from the first look? Or was there a game at the beginning of the play, quite early on, where when Arden was very suspicious of his wife and
No, I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't recall one. It was morning breakfast pootling about the opening of the play.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Was there a lot of crosstalk that was like, it could mean one thing, they were talking about one thing, but it could mean something else. I'm just getting confused.
Getting your plays muddled.
Probably.
There is a play that opens with some backgammon, but that's The Two Angry Women of Abingdon, which is a very different play. Actually, it's not that far off in elements. It could have got murderous, didn't. And certainly the right people didn't get murdered. Anyway, separate issue. there's a bit more bustle potentially going on here and some more asides that need tidying up. They're only marked with dashes in this script, so I'm just going to add actual specific asides. But yeah, some sort of sound effect of gameplay, and we can decide on the game later. There might be additional clues. There is a mention of ace later on, but that doesn't necessarily mean cards. That could just be the side of a dice, a die rather. Let us continue, because I'm sure the scene's going to get happier. So then they play at the tables. Enter Black Will and Shakebag. Can he not take him yet? What a spite is that?
Not yet, Will. Take heed, he see thee not.
I fear he will spy me as I am coming.
To prevent that, creep betwixt my legs.
One ace, or else I lose the game.
Marry, sir, there's two for failing.
Ah, Master Arden, now I can take you.
Then Will pulls him down with a towel.
Mosby, Michael, Alice, what will you do?
Nothing but take you up, sir, nothing else.
There's for the pressing iron you told me of.
Stabs him.
And there's for the £10 in my sleeve.
Stabs him.
What? Groans thou? Nay, then give me the weapon. Take this for hindering Mosby's love and mine.
And stabs him.
Mistress.
And we'll just pause there. One addition has inferred that all the stabbing are inferred. And there is the potential that Mosby actually whacks him over the head with an iron rather than stabs him, because he's talking about that's for the pressing iron you told me of. But we don't actually have anything in the script stating what happens, that just that something is happening at all of those moments. Sorry, just reading in the chat, Sarah. Would you like to articulate that thought?
It's just all gone a bit Murder on the Orient Express. It's like they're all taking a turn. He's going to end up with 13 stab wounds. I'm waiting for Green and the painter, everyone to come in and just give him a go.
Well, to be fair, there's so many people who are already in this joint enterprise. It sort of doesn't matter. Sorry, Greg.
No, it's fine. Going back to the backgammon. The game. I kind of felt like I'd want to make Mosby's one ace or else I lose the game almost trying to cover what's happened previously, what the lines previous, just to try and sort of hide the fact that Alice and co are talking.
Oh, yes, that we need to do some extemporary sort of gameplay.
Because I think that needs covering with Mosby trying to sort of get Arden not to notice almost.
Yes, because it's got to be enthusiastic sort of gameplay, hasn't it? It's got to be busy, busy stuff going on. We've got to build that sense. And of course, you know, the gameplay is important because it means they can do all the various puns about, you know, taking things or winning a trick or whatever the game is. I can take you now in that double meaning kind of way, which is, you know, tad dark. But hey, it is a murder. That's sort of what murders are. Okay, Arden, sadly, is no longer with us. So that means Liza is now free to read Susan. So that's a good system. I will stick with Will. Any other thoughts? Stabbings, fairly straightforward. Hitting with an iron, that's fairly straightforward. Most of these things require vegetables and knives, and that's easily replicated. Maybe the odd watermelon. We never talked about watermelons earlier, about, you know, how far do we go with Michael's head injury, but as we've decided, we're probably cutting Michael's head injury. That's fine. Okay, so Arden at this point approximately dies. How long we hold that for? Probably a while. Anyway, Will picks up the cudgels and stuff goes on. Oh, that villain will betray us all.
Tush, fear him not. He will be secret.
Why? Dost thou think I will betray myself?
In Southwark dwells a bonny northern lass, the widow Chambly. I'll go to her house now, and if she'll not give me arbour, I'll make booty of the queen even to her smock.
Shift to yourselves. We too will leave you now.
First, lay the body in the counting house.
Then they lay the body in the counting house. We have our gold. Mistress Alice, adieu. Mosby, farewell. And Michael, farewell too. So I'm just going to pause there because I think this has got to be stretched out. This has got to be sounds of moving bodies across floors, sounds of gold. We've got all this stuff going on. I just love the way that Will and Shakebag just go, right, well, that's us done. And Alice is going, could you just at least put him in the other room before you go? And for all the fact that we've only looked at about 10 lines, this is quite a long sequence, actually. There's this has got to go on. And we will find out whether we go to full CSI Fathersham later. I suspect they're not very good at the cleanup. Any other thoughts on? I'm curious about Ashley, because we don't know when Arden dies and when Michael cries out, "Oh, mistress!" Usually, "Oh, mistress" is the moment she stabs him. But it's this thing. It's almost like, does anyone in the room care when Arden's coup de grace happens. Because it feels like Michael, oh mistress, will, oh that villain will betray us all, actually flows into each other. And it's like, is there a moment for Arden's death? This is more a stage question than an audio question. I think we've got to give him a death rattle or something. I'm slightly curious about the flow of this dialogue now, actually. Sarah?
I would say it comes after Alice stabs him. I mean, Liza was putting in some very good groans there, and I think it's, yeah, you could even put a few groans in during Alice's speech, which I think Liza did, and that really made sense. So you could elongate that couplet of Alice's and then have his final death rattle after she's stabbed him. You could also have her stab him multiple times, actually. And then that's why that gives Michael the impetus to go, oh, mistress, you know, because she hasn't just stabbed him once. And if she's gone a bit psycho on him, then, you know, it could be, it's not that she's killed him. Michael knew that she was going to stab him, but it's the fact that she's going for it repeatedly. And then you turn the scene into something quite, I mean, it's dark already, but you kind of push it to the edge of where it could go.
And you know, we've established that Alice is quite frustrated at this point. It's like they've tried doing plausible deniability murders, and it's just like, no, I really just want him dead. I really want to kill him. Sarah.
Yeah, well, also there's the thing, of course, she did say earlier, like, oh my God, is he never going to die? And the fact that Mosby stabs him or hits him with an iron or whatever, if you then get a groan from Arden and then Shakebag stabs him and you get another groan, and you could get Arden to sort of then go, oh, you know, not just a groan, but like, oh, you know, like sort of more like help me kind of sounds, you know, from Alice's perspective, it's like, oh my God, is he not dead yet? I've been trying for like the last however many weeks to kill this man, and he never ever seems to die. You know, he's worse than Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. He keeps on coming back. So then that would give her impetus to actually do it herself, because it's like, I have to make sure he's dead, because she's just become more and more obsessed with the idea that he never seems to die. I mean, how many plots? I've lost count of the number of plots we've had. And so dramatically,
I don't think we're quite in double figures, but it's got close.
It's getting close, though. Yeah, we must be getting close. So it's like, yeah, I it's like she. You can imagine, and on stage, you'd have the visual, but I think it would work for audio too. That she grabs the knife and just, you know, stabs him over and over because she's just so determined to make sure that he's actually dead. She's maybe got almost like a superstitious fear that he just can't be killed, I think, by this point.
Yeah, we're really going to have to load up those content warnings before we start, aren't we? Because this is going to get grim. Liza. Muted at present.
I mean, yeah, multiple stabbings are possible. The line kind of points to once, but which makes me think maybe Mosby and Shakebag do their part, and then he's like almost dead. And I think it's almost more chilling if they just kind of stand around and watch him for a while.
It's that problem of the Michael's own mistress needs to seem to follow the action and be quite extreme, because Will has to respond to that. And it's like the text doesn't give us a moment for Arden's death.
The shocking part is that a woman is stabbing someone. I mean, in period terms.
The shock has to come with that moment. I say it doesn't leave much room for Arden to die, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like sexy stabbing. She could get down and straddle him and rest and, you know, and just basically hold the knife there till he stops struggling, or like yank the knife out in a bloody way. I'm thinking more visually than audio terms here.
Yeah, I was going to say, but that would be difficult to convey, and that's more Maid's Tragedy than this is Maid's Tragedy or second Maiden's Tragedy. Anyway, there's a tragedy that does the full Basic Instinct thing, and does the sexy stabbing. That's one to look forward to the future. For the listeners at home, there's a confused, excited slash scared faces in the room. Desna, you've been waving.
So I'm just curious, because I don't know what's happened previously. Has it ever been discussed that Alice is going to be is going to participate in the murder? Or has the assumption been that she's hired all these various ne'er-do-wells to do it? And so maybe that is what the shocking thing is that, Liza said, you know, it would be shocking for a woman to be stabbing somebody perhaps in this period. But in terms of the narrative of the play...
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. This has constantly been an outsourcing job until this scene when they're just all so pissed off that they keep failing to kill him that they just say, I almost stabbed him last night in bed. It was basically what she was saying at the beginning of the scene. Sarah?
I think actually that's not entirely right, because the first plot that was mentioned was her trying get Michael to do it. But actually the first time someone actually that we saw someone try to murder him
She tried to poison
was
him.
Her she took the poison from the painter and she mixed it into his pottage or his soup or whatever, and she actually gave him the bowl. So I mean, it's not as obviously visceral as you know, grabbing a knife off somebody and stabbing, but she actually in fact I think she's the only person who we've actually seen attempt to murder him. We've had lots and lots of very near attempts and, it hasn't quite worked, or we need to stop, or we need to pull back for whatever reason, or I've just been hit on the head and I can't do it now. But I think the only person who's actually really gone for it is Alice.
Mm. Yes, and it's that difference between the convention of the woman's weapon of poison that we have in crime fiction more from the late, you know, from the 19th century. I think that sort of counterpoint holds within the logic of the play. This is a much more visceral, violent action. Anyway, we've discussed. I mean, we needed to discuss that at length, I think, because we've all been on quite a long journey with this particular murder. The aforementioned Susan now comes running in because, as it turns out, this was the worst possible moment to actually execute a murder.
Mistress, the guests are at the doors. Hearken, they knock. What, shall I let them in?
Mosby, go thou and bear them company.
Exit, Mosby.
And Susan, fetch water and wash away this blood.
Ooh. The blood cleaveth to the ground and will not out.
But with my nails, I'll scrape away the blood. Oh, the more I strive, the more the blood appears.
What's the reason, mistress, can you tell?
Because I blush not at my husband's death.
Here enter Mosby.
And now, what's the matter? Is all well?
Aye, well, if Arden were alive again, in vain we strive, for here his blood remains.
Why, strew rushes on it, can you not? This wench does nothing. Come into the work.
'Twas thou that made me murder him.
What of that?
Nay, nothing, Mosby, so it be not known.
Keep thou it close, and 'tis impossible.
But I cannot. Was he not slain by me? My husband's death torments me at the heart.
It shall not long torment thee, gentle Alice. I am thy husband. Think no more of him.
Well, I was making lots of notes about clawing at bloodstains, so I got distracted. Again, this is a moment that takes longer, that they're trying to clean the blood off the floor. This is, you know, scrubbing, and I think I'm going to go with brush rather than cloth. I think it's got to be a sh noise. Clawing. It's a terrible moment to do a murder. Surely they knew guests were coming. Did they miss this? This is a tricky moment, it takes longer than it looks there, and how there's a lingeringness to it, and a desperation to it, which we need to really inhabit. Okay, moving forward, we have various people here. This is where it all probably falls apart a little bit with the number of readers that we have, but that's fine. Liza, could you read for them going forward, Franklin? So I think Franklin's going to say, oh, are you reading? Who's reading Michael? Desna, you're Michael, aren't you? Yes, you are. Tom, if you can read Bradshaw. And who's, has anyone got green? I'll take green for the moment. And oh god, it's a mess. Never mind. we'll get through it. I'll do Adam as well. Yeah, this is only an exercise in figuring out where all the pieces go. Anyway, here enters Adam Fowl and Bradshaw.
How now, Mistress Arden? What ail you weep?
Because her husband is abroad so late. A couple of ruffians threatened him yesterday, and she, poor soul, is afraid he should be hurt.
Oh, is nothing else? Tush, he'll be here anon. And here enters Green. Now, Mistress Arden, lack you any guests?
Oh, Master Green, did you see my husband lately?
I saw him walking behind the abbey even now. Here enters Franklin.
I do not like this being out so late. Master Franklin, where did you leave my husband?
Believe me, I saw him not since morning. Fear you not, he'll come anon. Meanwhile, you may do well to bid his guests sit down.
Aye, so they shall. Master Bradshaw, sit you there. I pray you, be content. I'll have my will. Master Mosby, did you in my husband's seat?
Susan, shall thou and I wait on them? Or, and thou sayest the word, let us sit down too.
At peace, we have other matters now in hand. I fear me, Michael, all will be bewrayed.
Tush, so it be known that I shall marry thee in the morning, I care not though I be hanged ere night. But to prevent the worst, I'll buy some rat's bane.
Why, Michael, wilt thou poison thyself?
No, but my mistress, for I fear she'll tell.
Oh, tush, Michael, fear not her, she's wise enough.
Sirrah, Michael, give us a cup of beer. Mistress Arden, here's to your husband.
My husband.
Huh. What ails you, woman, to cry so suddenly?
Oh, neighbours, a sudden qualm, quite okay, my heart. My husband, being forth, torments my mind. I know something's amiss. He's not well, or else I should have heard of him ere now.
She will undo us through her foolishness.
Fear not, Mistress Arden, he is well enough.
Oh, tell not me. I know he is not well. He was not wont for to stay thus late. Good Master Franklin, go and seek him forth. And if you find him, send him home to me, and tell him what a fear he hath put me in.
I like not this. I pray God all be well. I'll seek him out and find him if I can.
And exeunt at this point, Franklin, Malsby, and Green. We've got lots of things going on here, most of which is fine. It's asides, it's leaning into the mic and stuff. I do like the way that Michael and Susan are interacting here. Susan is, and also the way that, you know, when you commit a horrible crime, says someone who's never committed a horrible crime, that you know, it's all very well saying, oh, just act natural, act cool, it's fine. But there's a body in the other room. You've just brutally stabbed. There's blood everywhere, and you're trying to pretend everything's fine, and it clearly isn't. I am not so sure about the number of people coming in this scene for an audio adaptation. I'm thinking Adam Fowl and Bradshaw is a bit of an issue. And
Adam Fowl hasn't actually said anything, has he?
He said one line.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it could just as easily be Bradshaw or thing. Mm. You know, that's not to say we won't acknowledge that two people enter the room, but I'm just
yeah.
Thinking,
I mean,
we need two people.
The more guests there are, the higher the stakes are.
Yeah, but we don't necessarily need to give them assigned speakers roles, if that makes sense. We just need voices and bodies, and we might be able to reuse some actors from earlier. Yes, I think he is the Adam from the earlier. Yes, who was mentioned at the very beginning of the play and was about. Okay, other thoughts? Otherwise, I think it's all quite straightforward. But stakes is a really good point from Liza. You know, the stakes are really high here, and we've got to keep them. It's that thing. How do you make the situation worse? And it's this thing. You've just been cleaning up the blood, and you've got to pretend to be happy. look, be happy, everyone. Don't suddenly cry out randomly. And, you know, Osby's line, you know, she'll undo us through her foolishness. And it's just, hold it together. Hold it together. So, let us creep forward, seeing if our doubling will work reasonably well. So, Franklin, who doesn't like the look of this, because he's canny one, Franklin, leaving Alice, Michael, etc. On stage.
How shall I do to rid the rest away?
Leave that to my charge. Let me alone. It is very late, Master Bradshaw, and there are many false knaves abroad, and you have many narrow lanes to pass.
Faith, Master Michael, and thou sayest true. Therefore, I pray thee, lights forth and lends a link.
Exeunt Bradshaw, Adam, and Michael.
Michael? Bring them to the doors, but do not stay. You know I do not love to be alone. Go, Susan, and bid thy brother come. But wherefore should he come? Here is naught to fear. Stay, Susan, stay, and help to counsel me.
Alas, I counsel? Fear frights away my wits.
They open the counting house door and look upon Arden. Huh.
See, Susan, where thy quondam master lies, sweet Arden, smeared in blood and filthy gore.
My brother, you and I shall rue this deed.
Susan, help to lift his body forth, and let our salt tears be his obsequies.
And here enters Mosby and Green.
How now, Alice, whither will you bear him?
Sweet Mosby, art thou come? Then weep that will. I have my wish in that I joy thy sight.
Well, it behoves us to be circumspect.
Aye, for Franklin thinks that we have murdered him.
Aye, but he cannot prove it for his life. We'll spend this night in dalliance and in sport.
Here enters Michael.
Oh, mistress, the mayor and all the watch are coming towards our house with glaives and bills.
Make the door fast. Let them not come in.
Tell me, sweet Alice, how shall I escape?
Out at the back door, over the pile of wood, and for one night lie at the Flower de Luce.
That is the next way to betray myself.
Alas, Mistress Arden, the watch will take me ears and cause suspicion. What else would be done?
Why, take that way that Master Mosby doth, but first convey the body to the fields.
And they bear the body into the fields. Again, lengthy moment. Because they all exit and then they all pretty much all of them return apart from Susan. So, all exit, all return.
Well, or can they say that on their way out with the body?
Possibly. I don't know, because it's some...
Oh, Susan helps them carry the body, doesn't
yeah.
she?
That but seems to be the inferred that...
I mean, the implication, I guess, could be that if you wanted to do this in minimal time, Mosby and Green could deliver their exit lines, leaving with the body. Alice could be alone on stage for her two lines. And at the end, on the tail end of them, Susan could come back in.
I mean, I'd quite like the idea that it's really, really, it's really slow and protracted. Different editions place the that in different places. Interesting. Bear the bodies to the fields is after, literally goes into bearing the body into the fields in the Arden. Whereas in the New Mermaids, they decide to put it where Liza was suggesting. So we have an indeterminate... we have quite a few indeterminate stage directions, actually, in this text. I like the idea that they go out and then come back in again. Because I quite like the idea of dragging this out. I think that's the thing. Is that, especially, of course, as we haven't mentioned here, there's a whole load of other guests turning up. You know, the mayor's turning up. You know, it's like, oh, some people down from the pub turned up. Oh, that's fine. The mayor's turned up. Oh, shit. Desna.
The mayor isn't a guest. He's coming with an armed party.
Yeah, that's it's worse. It's all so much worse.
That's what I was assuming. So if they take a long time to drag the body into the fields or wherever they're going with it and then return, is that not enough time for the mayor and the watch to arrive and start? I just think there's a timing thing there.
Well, yeah, I was talking a sort of relative time. I'm not to make a long job about it, but it's a thing that happens. So yeah, it's a good question as to where that actually all happens, and I think that's one to decide almost in the room actually, and just decide what to do with it. I don't think there is a correct answer here. I think this is how you want to do it. The Rozzers are coming. Something's not right. So the stakes just keep getting higher and higher and higher, and it all gets more and more chaotic. Any other thoughts before the mayor and the watch turn up? Who's exited? Desna, you've exited, haven't you? Is Michael does have?
Well, I think I've helped take the body to the fields, but I don't know whether I've come back or not.
I don't see you saying very much, so...
I do.
He's back, though. He's back.
Yeah,
he is back, and he's further down in the next bit.
Tom, you've exited, haven't you? So, yeah, you've definitely gone, so... you went earlier. So, if you could be the mayor, and we'll carry on as we are. So, did we do the burying the body in the fields? Is that where we paused? Yes. Okay, so potentially they haven't exited yet. They have these lines of dialogue to say.
Until tomorrow, sweet Alice, now farewell, and see you confess nothing in any case.
Be resolute, Mistress Alice. Betray us not, but cleave to us as we will stick to you. Exeunt, Mosby and Green, or exeunt everyone with the bodies.
Now, let the judge and juries do their worst. My house is clear, and now I fear them not.
As we went, it snowed all the way, which makes me feel our footprints will be spied.
Peace, fool. The snow will cover them again.
But it had done before we came back again.
Hark. Hark, they knock. Go, Michael, let them in.
And here enters the mayor and the watch.
How now, Master Mayor? Have you brought my husband home?
I saw him come into your house about an hour ago.
Oh, you are deceived. It was a Londoner.
Mistress Arden, know you not one that is called Black Will?
I know none such. What mean these questions?
I have the council's warrant to apprehend him.
I'm glad it is no worse. Why, Master Mayor, think you I harbour any such?
We are informed that here he is. And therefore pardon us, for we must search.
Aye, search. And spare you not through every room. Were my husband at home, you would not offer this.
Here enters Franklin.
Master Franklin, what mean you come so sad?
Arden, my husband and my friend is slain.
Oh! Who? Master Franklin, can you tell?
I know not, but behind the abbey there he lies murdered in most piteous case.
But Master Franklin, are you short, is he?
I am too sure. Would God I were deceived.
Find out the murderers. Let them be known.
Aye, so they shall. Come you along with us.
Wherefore?
Know you this hand towel and this knife? Ah, Michael, through this thy negligence thou hast betrayed and undone us all.
I was so afraid I knew not what I did. I thought I'd thrown them both into the well.
It is the pig's blood we had to supper. But wherefore stay you? Find out the murderers.
I fear you'll prove one of them myself.
Aye, one of them? What means such questions?
I fear me he was murdered in this house and carried to the fields. For from that place, backwards and forwards, may you see the print of many feet within the snow. And look about with this chamber where we are, for you shall find part of his guiltless blood. For in his slip shoe, I did find some rushes which argueth he was murdered in this room.
Look in the place where he want to sit. See, his blood, it is too manifest.
It is a cup of wine that Michael shed.
Aye, truly.
It is his blood which strumpet thou hast shed. But if I live, thou and thy complices, which have conspired and wrought his death, shall rue it.
God and heaven can tell I loved him more than all the world beside. Bring me to him. Let me see his body.
Bring that villain, and Mosby's sister too, and one of you go to the Flower de Luce and seek for Mosby and apprehend him too.
And exeunt CSI Fathersham is in the building. It's pretty straightforward detective work, but it's very, very well done. I found a blood trail. We found the murder weapon. Michael's just rubbish, isn't he? To be fair, you know, he didn't have much time. But he didn't hide any of that very well. And then it's the whole... there was a bit of rushes in his shoe. Look, underneath the rushes, you will find blood. I mean, this is a cliche. We've had this with other true crime plays where people are really good at the CSI stuff, actually. You know, they actually had a pretty good idea, a lot of these investigative techniques, even then. And are very efficient in finding these things out. I mean, it's not a difficult crime scene to uncover, frankly. You just have to spend 2 seconds looking. Quite apart from the place, this place should surely smell of blood. All sorts of really grim things here that really point you in the right direction. Liza?
Well, I mean, as you say, the crime scene is simple, but in theatre, this all has to happen in one room. Mm. We can't be cinematic and shift to different rooms. And the counting house has to be, the withdrawing, you know, the discovery space or the, you know, there's only a limited amount of space this can take place in. And so he can't, for example, be murdered upstairs and the dinner take place downstairs. I guess we're, because of the nature of the play, we have similar space constraints with audio, even though we don't have space constraints with audio.
Yeah, I mean, we could have cutaways to footsteps in the snow and things where we don't even have to explain precisely what's going on, because we could play around with all of those elements. And even if we invented some slightly cod, you know, here, you know, dogs barking. We could create soundscape elements to fill in some of the gaps of what Franklin's doing here. You know, we don't have to rush this. And a lot of the scene feels quite rushed and bits of it feel quite slow. And it's quite interesting the way those pacing elements potentially could come out in the edit, as it were, where we can manipulate our sense of time and make some decisions there. It's a good scene, and it's clear. I don't think there's anything here that I'm going, I don't know what's going on, or I don't know who did what, or how it moves forward. We go into the next scene. Short one, this. Desna, be Shakebag for a moment. Here enters, for scene 15, Shakebag Solus.
The widow Chamberlain in her husband's days I kept, and now he's dead. She's grown so stout, she will not know her old companions. I came thither thinking to have had harbour, as I was wont, and she was ready to thrust me out at doors. But whether she would or no, I got me up, and as she followed me, I spurned her down the stairs and broke her neck and cut her tapster's throat. Now I am going to fling them in the Thames. I have the gold. What care I, though it be known? I'll cross the water and take sanctuary.
Exit shake bag. Well, you know, that escalated. This is first of two little speeches like this, which are there to break up the action, but also give a sense of people moving on to other pastures and giving us a sort of sense as at the end of the play of lots of little things flying about. Sarah's just asking me, is this detail in the source? I don't remember this bit. I'm just quickly turning to the source material to see if there was a thing about what happened with Shake Bag. And it's like, yeah, I went to one of my old pals and they said, go away. And then horrible extra murder. So, yeah, I'm just going to have a little scan. Thoughts in the room while I'm scanning some paper to try and find someone say something witty and interesting while I have a little thing here.
That's quite a lot of pressure to suddenly be witty and interesting.
Yeah, it's fine. You can all just be witty and things. Yeah.
I wonder, in the source material, does Shake Bag kill the widow and her tapster as well? Or is this a bit of color for the play?
Right. So I'm just looking at the assizes. They were apprehended, laid in prison, except for Green, Blackwell, and the painter. Which painter and George Shakebag, that was also fled before, were never heard of?
So this is an imagining of what Shakebag got up to when they didn't apprehend him.
Yeah, I'm not seeing more. I mean, I'm not saying it isn't there. I'm just quickly scanning through. But I think as far as the account is concerned, that's your lot. Yeah, that's your lot. Desna.
Yeah, so, I mean, if... obviously, I don't know what happens further on as we go along, but what is the purpose of Shakebag telling us that he's murdered the widow Chamberlain?
I think it's just to say what an awful person he is. I think it's also, it's structural. Both Shakebag and the whoever does the speech in the scene that follows the next scene, Black Will, are sort of running on to fill the gaps between scenes, so they've got to say something.
Okay.
So, to show their evilness. I'm going to fling them in the Thames. Liza's making a point about practicalities. They're coming on dragging bodies, dragging a body. two bodies, yeah. Anyway, again, structurally not complicated. Groaning, grunting, background, external sound effects. Does a job. Okay. Mayor Alice and Franklin and Mosby. So, scene 16. Here enters the mayor, Mosby, Alice, Franklin, Michael and Susan, but they don't say anything.
See, Mistress Arden, where your husband lies. Confess this foul fault and be penitent.
Arden, sweet husband, what shall I say? The more I sound his name, the more he bleeds. This bucket damps me, and he gushing forth speaks as it falls and asks me why I did it. Oh, forgive me, Arden. I repent me now, and would my death save thine, thou shouldst not die. Rise up, sweet Arden, and enjoy thy love, and frown not on me when we meet in heaven. In heaven, I'll love thee, though on earth I did not.
Say, Mosby, What made thee murder him?
Study not for an answer, look not down. His purse and girdle found at thy bed's head witness sufficiently thou didst the deed. It bootless is to swear thou didst it not.
I hired Black Will and Shakebag, ruffians both, and they and I have done this murderous deed. Why forestay we? Come, and bear me hence.
Those ruffians shall not scape. I'll up to London and get the council's warrant to apprehend them.
Exuant. So this is the moment in the end of an episode of Perry Mason where everyone just confesses. He just switches on the confession ray mixed, of course, with the early modern medieval tropes of the body bleeding afresh when the murderers are present. Whether that's a literal thing happening here or whether it's just, maybe he's not dead. Maybe he's just resting. They see no point in hiding the fact of where they are. The jig is up, so it's not psychologically as implausible as your Perry Mason. Sarah.
Well, given that this all happens very, very quickly, you could infer that time has passed, but actually, if this all happens, if you lean into the fact that it's all happened quite quickly, he could still be bleeding. It's possible. I don't actually know how long it takes for a corpse to stop bleeding, but his body could certainly still be warm. And if she's like clutching him and pressing him, maybe, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that's...
We're getting really quite grim here, aren't we?
We're getting quite gory, but what I actually wanted to... flag up was Mosby in that scene, because various people were going off to find Mosby at the Fleur de Luce, and then we have the passing of time with Shakebag doing his dreadful deeds, and then in the next scene Mosby has already been apprehended. So I think, for the purposes of audio, you could make something of that. You could have, at the end of Alice's speech, you could have marching boots coming back up the, you could actually have them fading in over her last couple of lines, so that, the men have been and they've got Mosby and they're bringing him back here. So, it's not already a fait accompli, they've already got him. He could actually just turn up at this point, and you could just do some foley to suggest that, which would make it even more dramatic, I think.
I like the idea that, this is, they've gathered all the suspects and they're walking in the snow, and there's something quite... The stillness of snow, a snowbound field as well. I mean, again, it's quite a difficult tone to get absolutely right in if you're recording in studio, but there is a quality to voices in a snowy field that's really quite present. If you can get that right, then that's something that's really got weight. I'm just go to Sarah, and then I'm going to go back to the source material for this little bit, because I think it's worth reading some of that. Sarah.
Yeah, the other thing that occurs to me is that Franklin says in the previous scene, the behind the abbey, so this field is clearly behind the abbey, wherever the abbey is. Faversham Abbey, is there an abbey at Faversham? Maybe there was. Must have been. So you could have a bell tolling in the background.
Ooh, at the like the bell, yeah.
If you wanted, yeah, the Abbey bell.
So in Hollingshed, we've got all sorts of things. The person who finds the body is Prune the Grocer. Was in fact he was walking his dog. No, he wasn't walking his dog. First said, stay for me, I think I see one lie here. And so they, looking and beholding the body, found that it was Master Arden lying there thoroughly dead. And viewing diligently the manner of his body and hurts, found the rushes sticking in his slippers, and marking further, espied certain footsteps by reason of the snow betwixt the place where he lay and the garden door. Then the mayor commanded every man to stay, and hereafter appointed some to go about and come in at the inner side of the house through the garden as the way lay to the place where Master Arden's body did lie, or who all the way as they came perceived footings still before them in the snow. And so it appeared plainly that he was brought along that way from the house through the garden, and so into the field where he lay. Then the mayor and his company that were with him went into the house, and knowing her evil demeanour in past times, examined her of the matter. But she defied them and said, I would you should know I am no such woman. Then they examined her servants, and in the examination by reason of a piece of his hair, any blood found near to the house in the way, by the which they carried him forth, and likewise by the knife with which she had thrust him into the breast, and the clout wherewith they wiped the blood away, which they found in the tub, into the which they the same were thrown, they all confessed the matter, and herself, beholding her husband's blood, said, O, the blood of God help, for this blood have I shed. So that is interpolated all pretty much exactly from the source. Then they're all attached and committed to prison, and the mayor with others went presently to the fleur-de-lis, where they found Moseby in bed. And as they came towards him, they espied his hose and purse stained with some of Master Arden's blood. And when they asked what they meant by their coming in and such sort, they said, See here, ye may understand wherefore by these tokens. Then he confessed the deed. So here we've got he's a thief is the token of his guilt, rather than bloodstain. So they've shifted to make him more of a dodgy character in a sense. I didn't mean to read quite so much, but there was quite a lot that we've covered in this scene, so I did. But yeah, it's all pretty similar, actually. I mean, there is an attempt here to go for, inverted commas, truth of this. Okay, we have another short scene. Greg, you can be Will this time. Be Will. Here enters Will to fill in the gaps between scene 16 and scene 18.
Shakebag, I hear, have taken sanctuary. But I am so pursued with hues and cries for petty robberies that I have done that I can come unto no sanctuary. Therefore must I in some oyster boat at last be fain to go on board some hoy, and so to Flushing. There is no staying here. At Sittingbourne the watch was like to take me, and had not I with my buckler covered my head and run full blank at all adventures, I'm sure I had ne'er gone further than that place. For the constable had 20 warrants to apprehend me. Besides that, I robbed him and his man once at Gad's Hill. Farewell, England. I'll to Flushing now.
Exit Will. So, yeah, it looks like the two murderers, the hired hands, get away because they're professionals and they know what they're doing. You know, if nothing else, one thing I do expect that Will and Shakebag have organised is an escape route. Will clearly seems to be a lot better at this than Shakebag. Shakebag isn't very good at this, is he? You know, he's ended up committing some additional murders along the way and had to clean them up for that. Again, straightforward, on the hoof, outside, walking, footsteps, not a problem. Happy with that. Okay, so we will go into scene 18. We have the mayor. Oh, blast, we got Bradshaw at the same time. You were Bradshaw as well, weren't you, earlier? I'll read Bradshaw. Okay, scene 18. Here enters the mayor, Moseby, Alice, Michael, Susan, and Bradshaw.
Come, make haste and bring away the prisoners.
Mistress Arden, you are now going to God, and I am by the law condemned to die about a letter I brought from Master Green. I pray you, Mistress Arden, speak the truth. Was I ever privy to your intent or no?
What should I say? You brought me such a letter, but I dare sway thou knewest not the contents. Leave now to trouble me with worldly things, and let me meditate upon my Saviour Christ, whose blood must save me for the blood I shed.
Oh, how long shall I live in this hell of grief? Convey me from the presence of that strumpet.
Oh, but for thee, I had never been a strumpet. What cannot oaths and protestations do when men have opportunity to woo? I was too young to sound thy villainies. Now I find it, and repent too late.
Gentle brother, wherefore should I die? I knew not of it till the deed was done.
Oh, for thee I mourn, more for them, more than for myself. But let it suffice, I cannot save you now.
And if your brother and my mistress had not promised me you in marriage, I'd ne'er given consent to this foul deed.
Leave to accuse each other now, and listen to the sentence I shall give. Bear Mosby and his sister to London Strait, where they in Smithfield must be executed. Bear Mistress Arden to Canterbury, where her sentence is she must be burnt. Michael and Bradshaw to Faversham must suffer death.
Let my death make amends for all my sins.
Oh, fie upon women! This shall be my song, but bear me hence, for I have lived too long.
Seeing no hope on earth, in heaven is my hope.
Faith, I care not, seeing I die with Susan.
My blood be on his head that gave the sentence.
To speedy execution with them all.
And they exit. We'll just read the epilogue by Franklin, scene 19.
Thus have you seen the truth of Arden's death. As for the ruffians, Shakebag and Black Will, the one took sanctuary and being sent for out was murdered in Southwark as he passed to Greenwich, where the Lord Protector lay. Black Will was burned in Flushing on a stage. Green was hanged at Osbridge in Kent. The painter fled, and how he died we know not. But this above the rest is to be noted. Arden lay murdered in that plot of ground which he by force and violence held from Reed. And in the grass, his body's print was seen 2 years and more after this deed was done. Gentlemen, we hope you'll pardon this naked tragedy, wherein no filed points are foisted in to make it gracious to the ear or eye. For simple truth is gracious enough, and needs no other points of glozing stuff.
And exit. So, regardless of what we said about Will and
just one more thing. I happened to notice there were some footprints in the snow.
Yeah, despite what we said earlier, Will did not make it. He was burned in Flushing. Basically everybody dies. And there's a real question about the nature of justice here, because which the play sort of articulates to a degree. Bradshaw, who delivered a letter and gets it. I mean, it's a harsh on some of the people involved on the edges of the murder, who didn't commit the murder but were involved in the extended joint enterprise here, and so the nature of the law was pretty clear on that kind of thing. You don't get involved in murder, and so they similarly killed. So Mosby and his sister Susan, who's been a bargaining chip through this entire play, is hanged in Smithfield. Mistress Arden is burned at Canterbury. Green came again certain years after, was apprehended, condemned, and hanged in chains in the highway betwixt Ospring and Bolton near Feathersham. Adam Fowle, that dwelt in the Fleur-de-Lis in Feathersham, was brought into trouble about this matter, carried up to London with his legs bound under the horse belly, and committed to prison at the Marshalsea. For that Mosby was heard to say, had it not been for Adam Fowle, I had not come to this trouble. Meaning that the bringing of the silver dice for a token from him to him from Mistress Arden, as ye have heard, occasioned him to renew familiarity with her again. So elements of that are in the play. So, yeah. Bradshaw. I do feel for Bradshaw. I feel very much for and burning. But there's something about this whole incident, not just that it's come to us, but also that it was so publicized. There is something political going on here in the original, you know, the events of the time that sort of complicate the reactions to this, and that 40 years later this play is produced. And we've had so much fun up until this point. But the play does seem to know that. The play is making this point at the end there. Franklin's speech at the end is quite clever, actually. About, you know, and that penultimate scene with that scene with them all sort of talking amongst themselves about why it happened. Eliza.
I feel for Susan because Bradshaw asks for Alice to exculpate him, and she does. I mean, he's still under sentence of death and he still dies, but she says, you know, you brought me the letter. I'm pretty sure you didn't know what was in it. Susan is innocent, I think. Okay, after when she finds out, she moves towards concealment, but I think that's out of loyalty to her mistress. But it seems like Michael is trying to inculpate her by saying, oh, but they promised you to me in marriage to make me do it. And that doesn't prove her complicity. And then later on, he's like, he's really happy that he's dying with her, even though she doesn't deserve to die. It's like,
She's been used as a pawn throughout the entire play, often not on stage. I mean, she's sort of so present and absent at the same time.
Yeah, I just, anyway, I hope when she gets to heaven, she spits on all of them.
So, going back to our primary function here, it's not a complicated scene. I'm quite glad we don't actually have a scene showing the executions. I think all we need is a slow drum. Franklin speaks, and just leave it to hang there, as it were, over the scene. But it's not a complicated one. And structurally, it's a very straightforward play. It is mostly one thing after another. There are a few vaguely parallel lines in the various plot lines, but they're all quite linear. And that helps us in terms of producing an audio, because you only really have to hold on to the central thread. Even if you get a bit confused by some of the side threads, I still think we're going to cut the poison crucifix, because it really is quite confusing and it doesn't help. I think we can reduce the number of named parts towards the end there. I don't think we need two people coming in from the pub. We can have two people, but we don't need to know who they both are. In fact, I don't think the script really explicates who both of them are at that point very clearly. So I think we can simplify that. And that saves us a certain amount of grief with some of the doubling the number of actors we'd need. Because, as I say, with audio, it's very much a matter of finding... You don't want too large a cast, because you don't want too... You need to make sure the voices are all distinct, but also the number of voices that people can keep in their heads, number of characters they can keep in their heads without a visual stimulus is actually much, much fewer. And that's one of the big challenges with early modern plays when they have quite large casts, is actually keeping all of those characters spinning without other signifiers to be put in place. This one is pretty straightforward. This is it's not a short play, so it's quite a big one for us to do. But it's on that stepping stone to doing more regular big cast plays that we are working towards. With, of course, the support of our wonderful patrons. If you'd like to support the work we do and you would like to hear the full cast audio adaptation of this that we are working on, go to patreon.com/beyondshakespeare and become a regular contributor. Or you can just throw us a few coins of the realm via ko-fi.com/beyondshakespeare, and this will become a reality, and we are also infinitely bribable. You want to give us lots of money, we'll produce any play you like. We're quite content, so long as it's written before 1642 and not written by, and we'll do it. Absolutely cool. With possibly two or three exceptions, which I won't name here. So any final thoughts about Arden? Some of you have been here from the beginning. Some of you have just popped in for the odd session. Some of you have only been here today. Anything, it doesn't have to be just about the audio universe, but anything that may be just about the player role, or any just thoughts that we might be going for future things. Tom, and then Sarah.
I did like the pace of the downward pace of the final scenes. I thought it contrasted nicely with all of the sidewards plots and the longer explanations, and as it came to it, it had this wonderful what do they call it, of evil. This innocent was slaughtered. He wasn't killed, he was slaughtered. The banality of evil, that they all just took turns. And it was like a load of Jekylls. And then, yeah. So the pace changed, and I thought that was a fantastic contrast.
Mm. Yeah. It's interesting. What's the more brutal and impactful death here? Is it the death of Arden, or is it actually the death of all the other characters at the end? And there's something really interesting about that as an effect to leave an audience with. Sarah.
Yeah, I'm more shaken actually by just how many of them were executed and the ways in which they were executed too, because burning is just really hardcore. I mean, I know it was a far more common form of execution back then, but it's like, whoa, that is just, it's a really, really nasty way to go. It's like, yeah. Not that the other ways are great, but I'm wondering actually that thing I was saying earlier about having the Abbey bell tolling through that scene when Alice confesses over Arden's body, you could maybe bring that bell back, that tolling bell back for Franklin's final soliloquy. What I wanted to say, though, actually, was I wanted to return to a point that I made, I think, in session two. Not necessarily the whole play, but I do think there is scope, especially with audio, to record maybe sections, not the whole thing, but sections of this in multiple ways. Because it does lend itself. The characterizations, you could play it that Mosby was the real villain and he was actually gaslighting Alice all the way through this. Or you could play it that, you know, Alice is really the real protagonist, and, you know, at different points in the play, you're constantly kind of switching from one to the other. So, and I mean, for the full production, the full cast production, that's maybe what you'd want that. You'd want the audience to be constantly second guessing themselves. Oh, he's in charge, or no, she's in charge, or, you know. But I think there would be then scope to do like a true crime type of, you know, documentary styley or fake documentary styley thing, and record a section where you very much play it as Mosby is the real evil one here, and then you record it where, you know, Alice is the real evil one, and then you also could do versions where, you know, Arden is just ghastly, because it was interesting what Tom was saying there about how, you know, he's this innocent. Well, he actually you know, this was something we had in session one actually, how, I mean, okay, he doesn't deserve to be murdered either way, because, you know, nobody does, but you could turn him into an Agatha Christie villain, and actually make a, not villain, the murder victim. You know, the murder victims in Christie are usually really awful people, not always, but quite often. And you could do that with him. You could make it so that it's like inevitable that he's going to die because he's so ghastly. At the end of the play, we didn't really have that today, but in previous sessions, there's certainly been scope for playing him that way. And you could just record all these different little versions and then sort of say to the audience, well, who was right and who was wrong? You decide, kind of thing. And it might be quite an interesting, you know, project for kind of expanding the world of the play and you know, creating more content around it.
And certainly the dipping more in and out of the source material as well is something we're definitely looking at doing and yeah, looking at the nature of what was going on at the time and really digging into that a bit more. Any other final thoughts? Otherwise, I will close the session. Well, that's it from Killing Arden for the time being. We will be doing and releasing a second look read through of the play on our YouTube channel. We might even release it on the podcast. You can go to the first look exploring session, which is available now on the YouTube channel, you can continue the journey, and hopefully in the future there will be more on this play. But till then, all that remains to thank all the wonderful readers and contributors for all their wonderful reading. Thank you very much, everyone, and goodbye. Innocency, no bar against execution.